is the day the Lord has made, and we're going to make a choice to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Jesus is still on the throne, and we're just worshiping him today and coming and bringing you a word of truth today that will encourage us and set us free. Amen. If you're listening, if you're on the website today, New Life's website, we're asking you to go to listening live stream instead of live audio, because I think it kicks us off when you are going to live audio instead of the live stream. So that's how you're going to be able to stay connected, okay? So, but anyway, we want to open the service this morning. I want to read a couple of things to you to encourage us about standing on the promises of God. I was reminded again this morning of how that we used to sing an old song, an old church hymn that I remember singing in my childhood at the Baptist church called Standing on the Promises of God. So relevant for us today. And, you know, the word says that in 1 Corinthians 1:20, in the Amplified Translation, it says, "For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him Christ. For this reason, we utter, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The amen, so be it, to God through him in his person and by his agency to the glory of God." And I like what the Message Bible says. The Message Bible says, whatever God has promised, gets stamped with the yes of Jesus. In him, this is what we preach, pray, and the great amen. God's yes and our yes together, that means we're coming into agreement with him. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, by coming into agreement with him, together, gloriously evident, God affirms us, making us a sure thing in Christ, putting his yes within us. By his Spirit, he has stamped us with his eternal pledge, a sure beginning of what he is destined to complete. And going back to talking about the song that we used to sing in the church when I was growing up, I remember those church songs now have greater meaning to me than they did back then, because as you develop your relationship with God, you come to an understanding of who he is and get into the word. And standing on the promises of Christ my King through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. I'm standing on the promises of God that cannot fail. The howling storms of doubt and fear may assail, but by the living word of God, we shall prevail. Standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ has made us free. Wow. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord. Overcoming daily with a spirit's sword. Standing on the promises of God, we cannot fail. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God. Amen. And I want to read you one more thing before we get into some more music, some more worship. And when you're listening today, I just want to encourage you just to lift your hands and just let the Holy Spirit fall fresh on you today and be encouraged. But I put this in the bulletin a couple of weeks ago. Actually, it was the last Sunday that we had come together as a body, but it was called "The Promise Has Come," and it was something the Holy Spirit had dropped into my heart, and it's I called it "The Promise Has Come." It is time to pass over. The promise has come. The river is flowing for all, not just for some. Don't wait, don't hesitate. Now is the time to participate. Come as you are, dampen, limping, or leaping, for all his promises concerning you he is keeping. Be bold in your declarations. Let his word be your final proclamation. Arise, my beloved, to a new day. Choose to believe in what he has to say. No longer be held back by traditions, for now is the time his word will come to fruition. Don't be moved by what you see, for those things will soon leave. After the storm, you will find yourself still standing on his word, because you have made Jesus your Lord. All of his promises are now yours. So let's just take a few more moments just to worship as we put some more worship music on, and just invite the Holy Spirit to come into your home today and to flood you with his peace, with his joy, because this too shall pass. This is just a moment in time, and this too shall pass. Amen. Again, to make sure they tune in to. Is what's causing it. Yeah, we could do that. Do one night of just saying, hey, we're going to do this and do a run of it. See what happens. Huh. Not directly. It's downstairs. So they said 7 people out last night. They've only got themselves back on 2. Every child that's playing by the wrong front door. Every baby lying on the bedroom floor.
That's where Dr. Flowers is.
Every dreamer dreaming in their dead end job. Every driver driving through the rush hour mob. Yeah. I feel it in my spirit, feel it in my bone. You're gonna send revival, bring them all back home. Yes, I can hear that thunder in the distance, like a train on the outside. I can hear the brooding of your spirit. Lay your burdens down. Lay your burdens down. Revive us. Yes. Revive us. Revive us with your fire. From the preacher preaching when the well is dry. Gonna
fortune this morning. You ready?
Revive.
Just a minute. You say, now, Pastor Laverne, in that unbelief, didn't you already get it once? Well, I tell you, I just like to live by the book of Acts. And in Acts 2, the Holy Ghost fell on them, and it just, all, everything just went crazy in the tongues of fire and all that. And then later on, they said, God, all this stuff's happening and this persecution, just fill us again. When do you need refilling? When the persecution's coming, when the storms are coming. Amen. Revive us.
Revive.
This next song goes, just speak in the name of Jesus over everything. Amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over.
I mean, just go ahead and start.
I play a song.
Okay.
We have 14 people listening.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like the fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life.
We break every stronghold.
Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
All right, get ready, church. Begin to do some shouting.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. And Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus.
All right, now, let's get serious. You ready? Glory to God. Let's do it.
Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
All righty, let's get into the Word this morning. Excited about the Word that the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to minister today. And we're going to be talking about being yoked to Jesus. Being yoked to Jesus. You know, you're going to be yoked to something. So we that are saved and, well, I don't want to get ahead of my message this morning. So let's just get into it. Father God, we just thank you for this day that we have, Lord, with everything that's going on, Lord, around us at this moment. You are keeping us in the palm of your hand. And you're protecting us, Lord, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the peace that you give us at this time, Father. Thank you for this word, Lord, that it finds a lodging place in our heart and that we can go back and we can just say, yes, Lord, we're yoked to you. We're in unity with you. And everybody said amen. Amen. I can hear your amens this morning. All right, let's get started this morning. To the dead heart, Jesus says, come forth. As he did to Lazarus in John 11:43. And to the wanting heart, he says, come down. As he did to Zacchaeus in Luke 19:5. To the wondering heart, he says, come and see. As he did to John and Andrew in John 1:39. And to the weary, burdened heart, he says, come to me. And we read that in Matthew 11:28. So we're going to be talking, as I said before, yoked to Jesus. And we're going to find our scripture today in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30. And I want to read it in the King James Version, the Amplified and Message, so we can get a gist of the different ways that it says, that it reads to us today. So come to me, King James Version, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle, humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And the Amplified says, come to me, all you are labored heavy, laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease, relieve, refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief, ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant, and my burden is light and easy to bear. And the Passion Translation says, are you weary, carrying a heavy burden? Come to me. I'll refresh your life. I am your oasis. I love that. Simply join your life with mine. Learn my ways, and you'll discover that I'm gentle, humble, easy to please. You'll find refreshment and rest in me. For all that I require of you will be pleasant and easy to bear. And the Message Bible translation says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Hallelujah. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Wow. That's awesome. So there's not anything in our lives that does not go unnoticed before God. He sees everything that's taking place on the earth right now. And David even says in Psalms 139, where can I go from your presence? Or where can I flee from your presence? So we're going to take heart today that the Lord sees everything that we go through and what's happening in the earth right now. And that can bring us comfort, as I've said probably the last two or three times that I've ministered. That can bring us comfort knowing that God already sees it. If he's already sees it, then he's already made a way for us to escape and to get through it. Amen. So for those who may find themselves heavy laden, burdened with cares of the world, weary, you know, and all the things that are going on now, he's saying to you today, come to me. Come to me. And I will cause you to rest. I will ease, relieve, and refresh your souls. So Jesus is the one that spoke this, given the invitation to whomsoever will. Jesus has no partiality among people. It's whosoever will that will come to him. Come, I invite you to partake of what I am offering. Now the Greek meaning of come is to set out. With the intention of coming out of something into something. So when he says, come to me, you're coming out of something and into him. So at the teaching of this time, what was the thing that Jesus was asking the people to come out of and into? And he was saying, come out of religion, which is all about doing, and into relationship, which was and is about being. So he was encouraging the people to come out of what was the heavy burden of the system of works. That the yoke, there was the yoke of the Pharisees, which was the burdensome yoke of self-righteousness and legalistic law-keeping. Because of all the burdensome weight they were placing on people in order to develop a relationship with God. And to come to him, you had to do all of these things. So Jesus says, hey, come. Set out, come out of. He was inviting them to enter into this new covenant of rest. And he does the same thing for us today. We're all yoked to something, and whatever it may be, is what we will submit our lives to. That is what will govern our lives. It's what we submit to and come into unity with. And submitting to. And you know, the Christian life is not as if there would be no obedience, no submission. You know, no responsibility, because there is, but it would be through grace and love, not trying to earn that love or that acceptance from God, because he says, I won't lay anything ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and learn to live freely in light. See, that's relationship. That's not religion. That's relationship. And that's what the Pharisees were doing. It was all about the doing and not about the relationship. Later on in Matthew, we read where Jesus, Matthew 23, where Jesus, verse 4, rebukes the Pharisees for laying heavy burdens on the shoulders of the people, laying things on them that they could never, ever keep. For they bind heavy burdens, the word reads, and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift or move them with one of their fingers. 1 John tells us, 5:3, for the true love of God is this, that we do his commands, keep his ordinances, and are mindful of his precepts and teaching. And these orders of his are not irksome, burdensome, oppressive, or grievous. He said, these are the things and they're not oppressive when you come in submission to me. Come to me. Who is this invitation extended to? As I said before, it's extended to whosoever will. So are you weary, burdened, weary, carrying a heavy burden, tired, worn out, burned out on religion? This is the invitation to the people that he's given it to. You know, he sees that we weary about many things. You know, as I said before, starting out, David said, Lord, I can't go from your presence. I can go here, there, and everywhere, but I cannot get away from your presence. And so he sees that we weary about many things that has caused us to grow weary, that we try to do it right. We labor to do it right. We try to find a peace in things outside of him. We get heavy laden, burdened down with the cares of life. And we work at trying to please him. There's something that I must do in order for him to do. And there are many things that are happening around us at this moment that are unfamiliar. And we've been pushed out of our comfort zone and our everyday routine of life as we used to know it a few weeks ago. And what is a person to do when life as we know it is turned upside down? You know, I'm trying to make sense out of it all at times. I'm trying to, in self, to carry some things I was never meant to carry. I forget I'm in relationship with the one whose foot encircles the earth, sits on the circles of the earth. That's who we are in relationship with. And I forget about that. This is the one whom I'm in relationship with. Jesus is saying to you, to me, come here. And when I read those words the other day, I just kept reading them over and over. Come to me. Come here. And it was resounding in my spirit as someone calling softly to me and in love, and not one with threat, but one of compassion that simply says, come to me. Come to me. You don't have to bear it because I've already bore it. Come to me. Not one in judgment. I have maybe tried it on my own. I'm tired. I'm worn out. He says, I have the answer to your weariness. And all we have to do is come. And so to your heavy burdens that you were never meant to carry, these things have become a distraction. These things have become a distraction. Like I said, the words that I got for virus, victory in redemption under siege. So these things have come to distract us. So he's saying to us, I bore it so you don't have to bear it. That was the purpose of the cross. That was the purpose of the cross. And this goes to remind me of what Jesus said to Martha in Luke 10:41. Martha, my beloved Martha, you are anxious and wearied about many things. Why are you upset and troubled? Pulled away by all of these many distractions. Are they really that important? This one scripture in Matthew 11 that we just read alone is the answer to those who are weary and heavy laden. It's the answer to those who are burdened down by the cares of the world. It's the answer to those that are in religion that have tried to do it their way and tried to handle it on their own and tried to fix it. And he is saying gently and softly to you today, come here. Lay on your daddy God's chest for a while. I'm big enough to handle it. My shoulders cover the whole earth. So we see the invitation, come to me, to whosoever will. We see why he is calling those to come to him, those who are weary and heavy burdened. Now we can look at what happens when we do answer that call to come to him. He says, I will give you rest. I like that word, rest. I will give you rest. I will cause you to rest. I will ease, relieve, and refresh your souls. I'll refresh your life, for I am your oasis. And it's in that rest that we find that. Hebrews 14:3 says, for we who have believed enter that rest. So we start by believing. We sometimes in life get burdened down and weary and heavy laden because we are trying to believe. There's a big difference in simply just taking God at his word and said, if it says so in your word, I believe it. I'm not going to try to believe it. I'm just simply going to believe it, even though everything around me is screaming, it's not real, it's not true. If it was, then all this wouldn't be happening. So we get to thinking, if I believe hard enough, if I pray long enough, if I confess loud enough and long enough, if I fast and do all these things, we're getting back into religion again, and nothing is wrong with the, with you know, with the confession and declaration and all those things. But if we're doing it to try to believe in something that's already there, then we're not resting. We are in, we're getting burdened down, and we're getting weary, and we're trying to do something on our own. So it's to make something happen that has already been given to us. So when you're trying to believe, you've not entered into the rest of God. We simply believe. You know, as I remember saying one time, as a parent, children have excellent memories when they're smaller. If you tell them that you're going to do something for them, say like, I'm going to take you out for ice cream at 1 o'clock, you better be sure they're looking at that clock. And you'd better take them, they're going to come to you and say, listen, at 1 you said you would do this. That's the promise of an earthly father. How much more would not our heavenly father give to us those things that we ask of him and those promises that he promised us and says, come to me and I'll relieve you of your burden and your weary. Martha, you're so distracted by many things. And so we choose to do this. I have complete rest. We simply believe. And when we choose to do this, that's when we have rest in him, because we're not trying to make it happen. So we can rest in him because he has already paid the price for everything we need in this life. If we got ourselves into it, he is big enough to get us out of it if we trust him. So he already has the answer to whatever we may need and the answer to. And now he says, take my yoke. Take my yoke upon him, not the yoke of religion and the do's and don'ts and the trying and the working for. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Because he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. In Jesus' day, he was able to use this parable because people were familiar with a yoke. A literal yoke was and is a long wooden bar with one or two curved areas which would fit over the necks of oxen to help them move heavy loads. That was their mode of transportation. And so two oxen together under a yoke could pull a greater weight with less effort and work longer than a single animal could because of the weight of the burden was shared. The yoke or wooden bar would level the load out so it would be easier to carry. In an ancient culture, the word yoke was a term that was used to describe submission. And there was two parts that made a yoke do what it was supposed to do: submission and unity. Submission to the fact that the oxen would submit to the yoke that carried the heavy load that was placed upon him, and both oxen would come together in unity to make that load easier to carry. The unity would cause them to work together and not try to be pulling one way or the other way. So each ox would work together to carry the load, unity, and that would make the burden of what they were carrying less burdensome. So when someone was described as being yoked to someone or something, it was communicating the idea that he or she was in submission to that which they were yoked to. Submit means to yield to the power or authority of another. Unity is the state of being unified or joined together as a whole or agreement. So when we come to him for salvation, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior and received him, we were united with him. We became yoked to him. Wow, we became yoked to him in the sense of unity, and we are now one with him. And so to come under Christ's yoke is to be joined with him and become dependent upon him. We were made to live under his yoke because he is our life. And he says, my yoke isn't burdensome. It isn't heavy. It isn't tired. You don't grow weary. Whatever touches us touches Christ, because we are spiritually yoked together with him. Taking his yoke and learning from him can all be summed up in one word, and that's called trust. And one thing about being yoked to Jesus, we know that he's already held up to his end of the yoke. Now, what do we do? We are partners with him. But, you know, we're the one that gets bad sometimes. We want to try to pull away from him, and we want to become the pilot and allow him to become the co-pilot, you know. So Christ's yoke binds us together with him and gives us rest because we learn to trust. We learn to trust, and it's not that things are going to come along in our life that wants to attach itself to us and cause us to weary, that causes us to become distracted, that causes us to be weighed down with burdens and begin to question and what if and everything. Those things are going to be there, but he said, hey, your yoke with me, I can cause those things to become lighter, and you don't have to carry it all on your own. I'll make a way where there seemeth to be no way, you know, because my word, and as we talked about in the first of the service, my promises are good. Good. My promises are good. So now as believers in Christ, we are partners with God. We have a part and he has a part. You know, sometimes we just want to throw it all on Jesus. And he said, listen, I paid the price. I've paid the price. I want you to come into submission to me. I want you to come into agreement with me. And when you do that submission part of it, there's a unity that takes place, and there is power in unity. We are yoked to Christ, and nothing can separate us from that. Nothing can separate us from that. And what makes it hard on us, as I said, that we're the one that wants to try to get out from under that and wants to pull away from it. Then when we do that, we're out of that rest. We're out of that rest that he's called us to. So when we don't do the part that we can do, we try to do his part. And like I said, that is when we begin to stress and begin to worry about things that he's brought us out of. You know, there are all sorts of yokes in the world that we can become attached to, that we can tie ourselves to, become submitted to become in unity with. And as I said, one part of the message in the beginning is, whatever you submit yourself to outside of Christ, whatever you yoke yourself to outside of Christ, that is where your power of living is going to come from. And he said, if you're already yoked to me, so allow that submission and that unity with me become your power for living. He isn't promising freedom from everything that weighs us down, but he has promised that he would never, ever forsake us, never, ever let us down, never, ever go away from us. He is always present there to help us. So as children of God, as sons and daughters of God, how are we handling this moment of time? This church, this is a time that the church can show forth the glory of God, the peace of God, more than we have ever in probably a long time in my lifetime that I can remember. But are we alongside of the world being fearful and frightful and saying, when is all this going to end? What is our confession during this time? Are we saying that, yes, this too shall end. This is just a moment in time. We are yoked to Jesus, and he's going to see us through. He is our protection. We're hid in him. Amen. We're covered over with the robe of righteousness. We're covered over with his blood. Amen. And he's going to take care of his own. He is going to take care of his own. So how are we handling this moment of time? Moment means a little while. This too shall pass. You know, have we allowed it to become a burden or too heavy to bear? It's not that you're not going to be tempted. It didn't say that no weapon formed against you. It says when the weapon is formed against you, it's not going to prosper. It's not going to succeed at reaching its intended purpose. It didn't say that it wouldn't. It says when the weapon is formed against you. So have you become weary and heavy laden because of the things that are going on around you right now? Trust God and enter into his rest that he has promised us, and quit trying to do it on your own and get into the religious mode of saying, I've got to do this, that, or the other to earn what God has already promised. He's already promised it to us. So Jesus is giving you the invitation, and he is saying, come to me. Don't become yoked to fear. Don't become yoked to discouragement. Don't become yoked to anything except the peace of God. And trust in him in this moment of time. And I want to encourage you, church, that he has got you covered. He's got you covered. He's got you and your family in the palm of your hand. And he's dancing over you with joy today. And he loves you. And I want you to know that he is for you. All of his promises are for you. And he is there with his outstretched arm right now. And I just want to pray over you right now. And I want to come against every fear that has tried to attach itself to you and your household in the name of Jesus. I come against that spirit of fear. And I remind you today that the Bible says that he's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us of a sound mind. Amen. Not given us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. And I want to encourage you today, the righteous keep moving forward. Moving forward, resting in God because we are yoked to him. And knowing that we're yoked and there's that bond in there because of the blood of Jesus. And that you were made for such a time as this. Put on that garment of praise and praise your way to victory. And begin to say, all the promises of God are mine. Standing on the promise of his word that shall not fail. I come against a spirit of fear that wants to attach itself to you. Let faith arise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. What is your say so today? What is your say so today? We are declaring victory. We are declaring victory. And I speak over you today in the name of Jesus. I command every sickness to leave your home, that you are the healed of the Lord. I just thank you, Lord, that they are prospering in every way, financially, in their bodies, in the name of Jesus. I just speak over that and declare that over you today, church, that you belong to God, that you belong to God, and he has got you, and he's got you covered today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.